After you listen to this podcast, you should check us out on our Facebook page, and then let us know what you think of our Facebook page. It's social media. That's how this works. It's interaction. That's why I'm telling you about it. But if you're a fan of our podcast, our Facebook does have all the news and all the information that doesn't make it onto the show. So if you want to keep up with all things toys and games and board games, video games, all kinds of games, except Hunger Games. We don't really talk about that. But anyways, check out our Facebook. Thanks a lot.
There was a firefight!
Why did you touch me?
You killed innocent people.
The means to an end.
You started a massacre.
I caused the revolution.
You betrayed the law.
Roar!
I see you are practiced in worshipping things that fly.
Hulkamania is running wild like it's never ran before.
It's over 9,000!
What?
Rise before Zod.
Bitches leave.
Kneel before Zod.
Thunder!
Oh, this is the worst looking hat I ever saw. Well, you buy a hat like this, I bet you get a free bowl of soup, huh?
Remember, there's always madness. Woo-hoo. Madness is the emergency exit.
Here it comes! A little going away present for you!
Okay, so, once again, NijiCon 2014, still here.
NijiCon!
Everything's wrapping up right now, but we have some special guests. Actually, they were our neighbors the entire time at NijiCon, so I'm really excited to interview them, because they've been quite awesome and had some great music blasting. So, if you guys can just introduce yourselves.
My name is Dave Ebersole. I'm the writer of a comic called Dash that's being published by Northwest Press.
And that's me! I'm Zan Christensen, publisher of Northwest Press, and it's my first NijiCon. It's the first NijiCon, so yeah. It's my first time out here, and it's really fun.
Awesome.
All right, and of course, you guys know I'm Leander, and we also have...
I am Tim.
All right, it's Bizarro Tim, guys.
Bizarro Tim.
You guys have met Bizarro Tim before. So, can you guys tell me a little bit about yourselves, your company, the history of that as well?
Well,
you take that.
Northwest Press is a pretty small but ambitious publishing company. Started in 2010, originally as a side thing, but now it's consumed my entire life. And the goal of Northwest Press is to publish LGBT inclusive comics featuring starring LGBT characters. Nice. And so, not all adult. Not all non-adult. Mm-hmm. All different kinds of things: comedy, nonfiction, humor, drama, spicy things. But with a goal to produce books that are kind of bookshelf worthy and that are important in some way, mm-hmm. either because they're just really, really well done, or because they're dealing with subject matter that's really awesome and really important, like historical stuff. Mm-hmm. And so we have a lot of great stuff. We've just published our 13th full-length book, and we started up three ongoing series this year, mm-hmm. one of which is Dave Ebersole's Dash.
Yes, it is. the first issue came out last month. The second issue comes out very, very, very soon. And, I met Zan at San Diego Comic-Con in 2013. I asked for a pitch review. He was so generous and came out and said he really liked it, and, you know, keep on working on it, and, you know, here we are.
Even though you were told not to pitch at conventions.
I was told don't. Well, that's why I asked for a pitch review, you see.
A pitch review? Oh.
I asked for a pitch review.
I wanted to pitch so that I could say, that's an interesting pitch. Or maybe you should work on that pitch.
Yeah. It worked, see?
And what is Dash about?
Dash is a 1940s noir detective. I picture it as the Maltese Falcon meets the Mummy, as there's a supernatural bent to it. Mm-hmm. And Dash is a private investigator. The real spin on it is that he's gay, but he's also out. Like, and in the 1940s, that was a very hard mm-hmm. thing to do. Mm-hmm. And he has no choice to be out because he was caught in a big scandal, and he was all over the headlines. Which is sort of a spoiler for issue two, but not so much, because in issue one everybody kind of knows.
Mm-hmm.
So, that's for me. That's been like the most interesting thing to write. You know, writing around this obstacle.
Okay.
Yeah. And my co-creator is artist Delia Gable. And she does all the art and the lettering and the coloring. So she's pretty amazing. And she's a wonderful partner to be working on this project with.
How did you find her?
Through a mutual friend introduced us. Mutual friend actually gave her the script unbeknownst to me. And I always thought Delia was way too cool for me. And so when we got in contact, Delia loved it. And I was like, really? And we kind of were like, are we doing this? And she's, I've had a few creative partners. And she's been the best, hands down the best. Not only is she a great creative partner, but she's a great friend as well.
Awesome. So I have a question for you specifically. So the character that you created, how attached do you get? Like, do you get super offended if someone's like, oh, well, he's okay? Or when someone says, oh, I love that. Like, how do you, like, really get caught up in the emotions of it?
What the people's reaction
to
the character? Yeah,
people's reaction to the character.
I love every reaction. Actually, I was just telling Zan, I'm a playwright as well, and I love when people don't like it. And they don't, you know, and they're very honest about it. Not only I just love the honesty, but it inspires me to make it the best I can make it.
Mm-hmm. Nice. And sometimes people don't like something and you're glad because they're the kind of person who you want to offend or you want to rub the wrong way because they need a little bit of shaking up or something. Yes. Or like, you know, like we did a book called Al-Qaeda's Super Secret Weapon, which is an erotic political satire of the War on Terror. And I always put a little TM after War on Terror just to be snarky. But, you know, like the people who'd be offended by that would be like conservative Republicans and Al-Qaeda. So, like, both of those groups, I'm like happy to offend them a little bit. Not too much.
Right.
I mean, it's all in good fun.
Of course.
It's all good natured. It's not not being trying to be spiteful. Mm-hmm. But I know that they don't like it. I know they wouldn't like it if they were to find it.
So. don't kill me.
So when you first started this particular kind of company, where you know it's aimed at LGBT community, you're trying to get that on the shelves. How were the reactions of the vendors and the people that you're trying to sell it to? Like, was it pretty easy in the very beginning, or how hard was it?
Well, I always joke that, you know, we entered a recession, and my first instinct was to start a print comics business. Really smart. So the challenges around marketing these kind of books are not really about the content so much. Mm-hmm. They're not really about the fact that they're queer-focused. It's really more about the marketplace being challenging for anybody right now. And so we've embraced like digital and doing a lot of conventions and selling directly to people through the website, and that works really, really well. We do have distribution through Diamond, so Diamond has been a great partner. There's been some horror stories about small publishers and indie publishers not meeting certain numbers and getting cut from the, you know, as a publisher distributing through Diamond. But they've been very, very good with us. They know that we're a niche market and that we're growing. So they've been very, very, very good and supportive. As far as audience reaction, I came to this after volunteering with Prism Comics for years and years and years. And my experience is, even though Prism was kind of formed as a response to negative attitudes in the industry and roadblocks to LGBT creators who were out getting work and getting respect. Even though it was created in response to that, the reaction from fans has always been positive. Like, I can only remember a handful of incidences over the past like dozen years where people have been negative. And I think it's because comics is such a tight-knit group of people. Like, comics fans, mm-hmm. they're very protective of comics. They're very enthusiastic. They want comics as a whole to do well. And I think people pick up on the fact that when you're out there and you're hawking your queer comic, that you're just another comics creator. And you have a different take on things, and you have different content, but you're all under the same umbrella in the end. And so we ended up with some very strange bedfellows, like the Christian Comic Art Society. We actually met them at Comic-Con, and I became very good friends with Ralph, who heads that up, and he comes by every year at San Diego and gives me a big hug and asks me how things are going, and he brings his daughter by, and it's, you know, it doesn't matter that we're doing stuff that maybe each other's constituencies aren't super excited about.
Right.
It doesn't matter because everybody, there's something for everybody in comics, and there's like lots of comics that I don't care about that I'm happy that they exist.
Right.
For the people who love them. So.
Okay.
And so for each of you, so obviously you could have been doing anything with your life. So why did you choose to do this, take this particular path?
Of writing comics or being in this business.
Well, like I said, I was doing a lot of theater, and I also write plays, which are people on stage in a room talking to each other and other people watching them. I wasn't unhappy with doing that. I mean, it was creatively fulfilling, but I wanted something tangible that I could give to somebody that they could walk away with and go home with and keep, and not just like a memory, you know, or an experience. And I had always loved comics, and a lot of people people I know were why aren't you doing this? And I was just kind of afraid. I didn't want to see how the meat was made, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But then I just kind of got to the point where it just burst, and I just did it. And it's been like so far, and like, you know, issue one just came out, but it's been a wonderful learning experience, and just being part of, you know, just learning about the community, you know, meeting people. And everyone's been super awesome.
Awesome. All right.
Oh, why did I get into comics? I was more of a fan. I don't know if I say this right. I started reading comics a long, 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 long time ago, and then I got out of comics once I discovered boys in high school. And then I came back to comics after college. As an adult getting back into comics, I was discovering a lot more independent work, a lot more stuff that had broader diversity and representation, and got very, very excited about that. And so I got involved in queer comics fandom with the Gay League of America, which was originally, I mean, this is dating me, but originally it was an AOL chat group, whatever. but they're still around, and Joe Palmer runs a website and fan group for that, and they're still strong, and a lot of members and great discussions about comics, mostly gay dudes talking about Batgirl and Supergirl's costume and whatever. But that was such a great experience to like be in a group of people who all love the same thing, love comics and comic heroes. We could talk about them from our perspective and be bitchy and be sassy and be excited about things that straight dudes don't care about at all. I loved that feeling. And so that was what led me into doing the activism work and the advocacy work with Prism. That kind of got me into the industry. Like, I was meeting a lot of people and seeing how the sausage is made, as you were saying. And I really liked that. Like, it did take a lot of the mystique away from it. I realized that, I was talking to Dave about this weekend, is that I realize now that I was a big fan of the characters, but I was more so a big fan of the writers and artists at the time. Like, when they relaunched all the DC titles in 85, George Perez doing Wonder Woman, George Perez and Len Wein doing Wonder Woman. That's the only version of that character for me in comics, at least.
Right.
Of course, there's Linda Carter, who will always forever be Wonder Woman. I realized that I was a fan of the creators, and so that's only been cemented further by working in the industry and meeting a lot of people, seeing so much great independent work. Like, I'm much broader in my taste now. I don't read a whole lot of Marvel and DC books anymore. Mm-hmm. I like the characters. I like the movies. You know, I like the...
Right.
Except for Superman and... Or the Man of Steel and Green Lantern. Except for the DC movies. I like all comic movies.
Sore subject.
I really like that I get to hang out with really talented people that I really respect. I think that's one of the major perks of working in comics, because it's still a pretty small pond, you know. Like, it's not TV and movies where you're like rubbing shoulders with superstars. It's not like that. It's the superstars in comics are modest superstars in the world, as far as, you know, the greater world is concerned. So you get to meet really amazing people that you think are gods, you know, and it's so exciting, you know, and they're just talking to you and saying, you want a sandwich, you know, like, right. That's just so great. So nice.
Well, the first thing I did was, when I started writing, I took a summer writing workshop at Sarah Lawrence, and Scott Snyder taught it. And I was just like, at the minute I walked in, I was like, like, and then he gave me like really good feedback on the book, and I'm like, it took me like almost like the entire workshop to be able to talk to him.
Yeah.
And then it was over. But
so I have a question, one more question for you, and then Tim, if you have any questions, we'll let you jump in as well. So all of our fans that we have, they're mixed, right? They're not all gay or whatever in the LGBT community. Why does it matter that anything we're doing is LGBT and comics and what you're trying to do in terms of getting, you know, why does it matter that the detective is gay? Why is it important that we show these things?
Well, for me, I felt like it's a perspective on the genre that hasn't really been taken, especially in that time period. Mm-hmm. And it's been a learning experience for me, you know, just, you know, putting myself into the shoes of, you know, people who had no choice to be out at that time. Why does it matter? It doesn't matter. I'm here to tell you the best story I can tell. And, you know, it's the story I want to read.
Mm. Yep.
And, you know, for people, I hope you want to read it too. There you go. But
hey, everybody out there in podcast land, read Dash Number One, available now.
Available now. But but I'm here to tell you the best story I possibly can tell you. And it doesn't matter, you know, who the character is. It's the story that I want to tell.
I think things are changing a lot. I think that one of the reasons that the motto for Northwest Press is comics are for everyone is not because every comic we do is for everyone. Obviously, like an anti-bullying comic that's aimed at eighth graders is not going to be the favorite comic of maybe somebody in their 60s. Somebody who, you know, wants a spicy adult comic, that comic's not going to be good for younger readers. So it's not that comics, that every comic we do is going to be for every taste, but the idea is that broadly, comics in general, they're a medium just like books or film or TV. They're accessible. They should be accessible. There should be something for everyone. And so far too often, you know, comics have ignored gay readers, they've ignored women, they've ignored trans creators and trans readers. And so I think it's really important that not as a quota thing, not as a social justice warriors thing, not as like a forcing creators to do something they don't want to do, but I think it is important if you're going to be a good creator, if you're going to be a good writer and tell good stories that are realistic, at least emotionally realistic, that they should represent what the real world looks like. And, you know, I was watching Batman Beyond last night. I've never seen it. Don't hate me, internet. but I was watching Batman Beyond last night, and, you know, as a savvy person who thinks about representation, who thinks about stuff like this, the way women are portrayed in the show is rather, it's just kind of sidelining. It's not like, you know, as bad as some of the worst offenders out there. But when you know that it's possible to do better, and when a show is firing on all cylinders and doing a really great job, and yet still stumbling so badly on something like that, it's frustrating because you know they can do better, and it's just a matter of education, you know. Mm-hmm. And it could be so much better if the characters were just in the first few episodes. Maybe it gets better, I don't know. but, you know, it's the women are not always the girlfriend or the person in the background or the mom. Or, you know, it's not always, they don't have to be sidelined. They don't have to be always doing the same thing and always being portrayed the same way. So I think it's just important for good storytelling to see the world as it really is.
Mm-hmm. Tim, do you have any final questions?
I have the most important question.
What's next?
What's next?
What's next? What's next for you, Dave Ebersole, co-creator of Dash?
Dash issue 2.
Oh, Dash issue 2.
Dash issue 2.
And when
Dash
will that be out?
Next month.
Wow.
Wow. That's awesome.
Pretty awesome.
Yeah.
What happens in that issue?
You're going to have to read it to find out.
Oh.
I did notice that on the cover, solicited in previews a few months ago, that there was a scary-looking mummy hand coming into frame. What's that all about? Scary mummy hand.
there's a supernatural slant to the book. As like I said, it's like the Maltese Falcon meets the mummy. Mm-hmm. So
so there might be a mummy.
There may be a mummy. Okay. Or and that may not be the villain either.
Ah.
Interesting.
I'm interested.
He's like, it's the villain. It's the villain.
It's totally the villain. Or the sidekick.
Have you seen Presumed Innocent? His wife killed her. I stole that joke from Kids in the Hall, sorry.
Nice.
What's next for Northwest Press? Well, we are currently fundraising. We did a book back in 2011, which was an anti-bullying comic I mentioned before, called The Power Within, and it's we distributed thousands of copies of those to schools and youth organizations and libraries and such. And so I was recently approached by a group of editors, one of whom I'd worked with on the Anything That Loves anthology we put out last summer. And they had an anti-bullying anthology they wanted to produce and were wondering if I would want to publish it and work with them and some nonprofit partners like GLAAD and Stand for the Silent and Prism Comics to help distribute that to schools and youth organizations and can get into the hands of kids. And so we started fundraising to print them in mass quantity so we can easily give them away and make them available. And that Kickstarter is actually running right now. And you can find that if you just search for Rise Comics Against Bullying. You can totally find that really easily, or go to Northwest Press and find it there. But I'm really excited about that. It's definitely, it takes a community to do something like that, because we're going to do two print issues, and if we do really well with our fundraising, we might be able to do all four issues in print, and then maybe even continue. Because one thing we found is that people keep wanting to give stories. They're like, oh, I heard you're doing this anti-bullying thing. I want to do something. I want to do something. I remember what it was like when I was growing up, and people thought, like, you're a nerd. You're terrible. Like, we hate you. Go away. Like, everybody, I think a lot of people in comics have experienced getting called names and getting picked on and being excluded from stuff just because we're too cool for everybody else. So please, yeah, please do go by and take a look and watch the video and buy a book. We also have some stuff coming up. We're doing a collection of Eric Orner's Ethan Green comics. We're doing a big omnibus called The Completely Unfabulous Social Life of Ethan Green. And then we have some more books coming next year, but I can't think of them off the top of my head. We're still doing the Bold Riley series.
Yeah.
We're still doing the Waste of Time series. And my phone is ringing. I'm so terrible. And of course, we're still doing Dash. So those stories will be wrapping up, and then new adventures of each of those will be coming soon. Mm-hmm. So keep buying them.
Awesome.
Ask your local comic shop. We're everywhere. We're all over North America and the UK. To say, hey, local comic shop owner, I would like to buy my comic from you and support you. So please order Dash number 2.
Yeah.
Or Dash number 3, or 4.
Or 4.
All of them. Order all of them. One of each.
And so at this point, and just to promote you guys a little bit more, where at this point, if people do want to stalk, I mean, follow you guys, where can they find you guys? Like, how do they keep up with what's going on?
Oh, well, our website is a great place, northwestpress.com, or on Twitter, Northwest Press. Do we have a Tumblr? We do Tumble occasionally. We'll Tumble for you. Just look for Northwest Press online and find us on the interwebs, and you can see all kinds of fun things.
And we have a process blog of the comic, team-.com, and you get behind-the-scenes stuff, penciled pages and just some of our thoughts on how we came about the series and all that kind of fun stuff, and some videos too. So
now I heard. Now I don't want to put too much pressure on you.
The rumors again.
I heard that you had a release party recently. It was very successful.
We did
in Philadelphia, and I heard that at this party you did a staged reading, like a radio play version of Dash Number 1. And I don't know about you out there in internet land, but if you're anything like me, you might be annoyed that you didn't get a chance to hear this amazingness. So are there any plans, purely for selfish reasons, are there any plans that you would record this or do it again, maybe at another event?
Absolutely. The response was really great, and the actors I had were super enthusiastic to be part of something like this. Just to say some of the lines that they don't actually get to say on stage a whole lot. We do have plans to keep to record it, do like a real official recording of it, and make it sound like old 1940s, you know, old fashioned. We also did like stage commercials, you know, like, you know, Camels, you know, the cigarette your doctor recommends. and we also had fabulous blues music and fronted by the amazing Deborah Billups, and they actually have a whole soundtrack to the comic written by an extremely talented musician, Chris Talameo, who also played one of the roles. So we're working on it. It's a lot of work. So hopefully sometime next year we'll have a little more info on this. Nice. So stay tuned.
Well, I am going to subscribe to your mailing list and find out about that.
Nice. Well, everyone, once again, thank you guys both for taking the time to speak with us. We're really excited to listen to, find out more about you, and definitely to get our listeners.
They watch the little numbers.
Yes. We definitely want them to know more about you guys and support you guys as much as possible. So thank you guys so much.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you much.
All righty.